podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio. Hogan
Johns. We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Obsession. Being obsessed. Anything that you do, if there's an obsession with it, you realize that obsession. Good things come from that.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
Let loose and just have some fun as you go about winning.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
Hot Rod! Bears 7! Hot Rod!
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
There's a different vibe around the building.
Obsession.
Everyone's just coming to work every day excited.
Being obsessed.
And that's what it's all about.
And now, here they are.
Perfection.
Hogan Johns.
What's up? Welcome in. Hogan Johns, episode 216.
Back from Orlando, back from Atlanta.
We've been traveling the United States.
Back in the northern burbs.
At least the southeast portion of the United States.
Yes.
Where it was a lot warmer than here.
Actually, I had a miserable few days in Florida, weather-wise.
Yeah, so that is something we call karma.
Yeah.
Because you came on this podcast and just bragged about how nice it was.
The first day I wore shorts and I got sunburned in my face. The last day it rained all day.
And your shoes got ruined, right?
No, we saved them.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
We may have ruined a couple Spring Hill Suites towels, but they were clean before they were packed.
All right. I'm just saying, you deserved what you got there the rest of the week.
Fair enough.
After bragging. And then you came home and you got the polar vortex of the century, which I got to avoid. It was cold in Atlanta still.
Yes, yes, yes.
It was like here. It was like normal Chicago winter down there.
Mm-hmm. Polar vortex, overrated. Overrated.
What do you mean overrated? Not that bad?
Come on, yeah.
Okay.
I went outside like four or five times the day it hit.
I did have to think, and obviously I haven't experienced negative 25. I don't know what that feels like with wind chills negative 50. But I was sitting there thinking in Atlanta, I'm like, at some point, doesn't just like it, this cold reaches a point where it doesn't feel any different?
Yeah. No, I get that. Maybe your nose, the inside of your nose will freeze faster. Your eyes will freeze faster. But
that sounds terrible.
Go start your cars. Go warm up your cars and get going with your day. I didn't get what the big deal was.
Sounded like
the run same. The water in your house so your pipes don't freeze. Come on, people. We've all been here before.
It sounded like the whole city shut down, though.
It did. It did.
And Atlanta shut down on Tuesday because it rained. I mean, I was having so much fun with that.
I saw someone tweet a picture of like the sun that day.
I did that. Yeah. It was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Maybe four by then. Anyway, I got back to my hotel, took a picture, perfect blue sky. No snow, nothing, no ice. I mean, it was in the 30s, but it had just rained in the morning. And
what was freezing rain? Some sleet? Nothing?
Nothing. They were worried that it was going to be icy.
Oh.
Because in the morning, it was in the 40s, and it was going to get gradually colder. So they thought the rain would turn to ice. And apparently the last time that happened, like 5 years ago, the whole city shut down. Because they don't have snow plows or salt trucks or anything like that.
No, I get it.
I kind of get it. And I think they were also paranoid because the Super Bowl is going on. The last thing they wanted was like, we can't handle this. So they just were like, government offices closed, no school. And then meanwhile, like, it was just raining in the morning. And then it stopped raining at noon. And then when it got cold, it was just sunny out. And it was like, this, you guys are nuts.
Anyway, I was once caught in Raleigh, North Carolina during a freak snowstorm back in my Blackhawks beat days.
In a hotel room with Jay Cutler and Mark Trestman?
No, no, okay. No. Come on. Blackhawks days. Blackhawks. I had this little...
Do you remember what I'm talking about, though, when Mark Trestman was like, I was in a hotel in Raleigh, North Carolina?
No.
How can you not remember that? It was like from his opening press conference when he took the job. He said he was in a hotel room with Jay Cutler in Raleigh, North Carolina, back in the day.
Oh, I blacked out those memories. As I'm sure many of our listeners have as well.
Well, I interviewed Jerry Rice last week, and I brought up how Mark Trestman was his offensive coordinator in Oakland, and it was like he didn't remember it. He was like, yeah, I think so.
It's like Rich Gannon's best years of his career.
Anyway, Did you have a story in there that you were about to tell?
I forget.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, this is 216, episode 216 of the Hogan Johns podcast. We are back. Thank you for those of you who put up with John's list episodes last week of Sports Central down in Radio Row.
Did a fantastic job, my friend.
Thank you. It was a busy week. Quick plug, and then I promise I won't talk about it, except we are going to bring some of this audio back. But
so not really. But
yeah, not really. But
so just bear with me.
Yeah, just bear with me. If you want to go back and listen to anything, it's on the Sports Central feed. I know a lot of our Hogan Johns listeners were paying attention last week, so really appreciate that. And everything, you know, the cool thing about what happened last week is we spent so little time talking about the game, the Super Bowl that is, and so much time talking about the Bears that almost every single interview we did, you can listen to it 3 weeks from now and it'll still be relevant. You know, it was just like a lot of it was a recap of the Bears season or just different topics. So if you missed any of this last week, go back. There's five episodes. They're all somewhere around an hour to an hour and a half. And plenty of things they can go back and listen to. So thanks for those of you that listened live last week. Thanks to those of you who will still go back and find the podcast. Appreciate it. But it was a fun week.
People forget that the buildup is also a buildup for the rest of the league. So much football conversation. So much football conversation during Radio Row. Everybody descends on whatever the host city is. Next year is Miami, is it not?
Can't wait.
To Miami.
You going to pull that trip off?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I'm already trying.
Atlanta, Miami, come on.
Well, the Bears are going to be playing in the game next year anyway.
Well, that'll make it easier.
So.
Be there for 8 days.
Might as well spend 2 weeks in Miami.
Yes.
Get out there early. Yes. Stay late.
Got a lot of good road trips in the 2019 season, my friend.
Yes, including London, which I made friends with people from London. My neighbors on Radio Row were from the London Sports radio station.
No kidding.
Yes.
Can we do a Hogan Johns podcast live with them?
Yes.
Okay.
Because
this, make a business connection.
Will Gavin, who I didn't know who that was until last week, but he's, you know, a sports radio guy in the UK. I interviewed him last week on Radio Row, and I told him, I'm like, we got all these Hogan Johns listeners that are in the UK. We hear from them all the time. They're excited. And he was talking about how many Bears fans there are in the UK. And I was like, the second they announced the game, we had all these listeners that wanted us to come to a pub and do a live show. And he's like, let's do it. We'll figure it out. We'll do it together. It'll be awesome. So our guy, Will Gavin, you can follow him on Twitter at Will Gav.
Absolutely.
G-A-V. I made some friends. I'm starting the prep.
Oh, I'm happy for you.
Yeah. Hey, I was there by myself.
All jokes aside, absolutely we're doing a live show from a London pub. How could we not?
We gotta get on that. We'll work it out. It's going to happen. I heard the game's going to be at Wembley, not the new Tottenham Stadium.
Okay. Does it make a difference to us? Wembley's bigger.
I guess it doesn't because I've never been to Wembley anyway, but that new stadium is supposed to be sweet. So, by the way, that's not for sure. It's just how it's currently slated. Things could move around a little bit. Anyway.
Let's talk some ball.
Talk some ball. What did you think about the game?
See, I don't mind defensive battles, but even that defensive battle lacked.
It was just boring.
Yeah.
Like, there weren't any.
Like, I want sacks. I want strip sacks. I want a couple picks. Like, picks that are returned, other than Tom Brady's first awful pass, but yeah, it was boring.
It kind of reminded me of the Bears-Rams game because, you know, in Chicago it was still exciting because there's like the Patriots fans.
Yeah, but there was a lot of turnovers that game.
But what I'm saying is Patriots fans loved the game the other night because their team won the game.
Absolutely.
And
okay.
They, you know, okay, so New England liked the game, but I'm talking about how maybe the rest of the country viewed the Rams-Bears game. You know, it was.
I know what you're saying.
It was that neither quarterback played well in that game. Jared Goff was bad in that game. The offense wasn't really there. And the Bears were pretty much from start to finish the better team. Like, that's how the Super Bowl was the other night. You know, there was really nothing exciting. Defenses came to play. And the even though it wasn't a blowout, the Patriots were clearly the better team.
The Chicago one in me can naturally appreciate some defensive strategy. It's just in my makeup. I played it as a kid throughout high school, all that too. Defensive side of the ball. You still, you wanted to see a few more big plays, even if it was a punt return. There's so many punts, you think someone will break one eventually for 50 yards or whatnot. There just wasn't enough big plays for me. But again, I still appreciate some of the defensive strategy.
But then it was like annoying when Roby Coleman sniffs out that screen and then they flag him for
the high tackle on Rex Burkhead. Yeah,
there shouldn't be a defenseless receiver behind the line of scrimmage. Like, because you're penalizing the guy for sniffing out the screen.
Yes,
that's not fair.
No, I didn't like that.
Yeah. You know, and those are the defensive plays that I can appreciate. Or when there was a couple times like Aaron Donald was in the backfield and like a quarter second.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff was cool, but let's throw in some offensive plays here and there. You know, Jared Goff hits.
But like the one cool moment for me with Aaron Donald, specifically Aaron Donald, is when he finally got to Tom Brady, but the ball was gone, and he threw him violently. Yeah. He flipped him around.
I'm surprised that wasn't a flag.
Yeah, and violently threw him to the ground, which I love that. That he did that with purpose, with mean intentions. I love that.
But you hate Tom Brady.
No. I just think that's how football naturally should be played, my friend. But that was it. That's my one memory of Aaron Donald in that football game. I don't think that's good for the Rams or Aaron Donald, but that's all I can remember. Yes, he was in the backfield in some plays quickly.
Well, it's like...
But getting to Tom Brady, that was it.
It's goes back to the Bears game. I mean, I think that the Patriots used a lot of that tape because the Rams played okay defensively against the Bears, but Aaron Donald was a non-factor. The Bears took him out.
On the other side of the ball, in Pat Finley's story, I want to say it was like paragraph 15 or something like that, he talked to Andrew Whitworth, the Rams offensive tackle. He said, according to him, Andrew Whitworth, that the Patriots used nearly the exact same game plan that the Bears had for them. What was that? At Soldier Field in the cold. A lot of stunts inside, a lot of movement inside, some zone defense, and a little blending in man. Worked. Vic Fangio did something right to figure out the Rams.
He did. It felt like that watching the game.
Well, I felt like when that week against the Bears, they were exposed. You sell out to stop the run and Todd Gurley and make Jared Goff beat you. They have good receivers, not elite special receivers. You make him read the field. That's what the Bears did. You get pressure on Jared Goff, fret him a little bit, make him beat you. He hasn't proven he can do it yet.
I was disappointed in Jared Goff because I thought he actually played pretty well against the Saints. I was impressed. They're down 13-0 in the Superdome. Nothing's going their way. It's loud. Yeah. And he played well the last three quarters. Even though they got some help from the officials in the end, he played pretty well.
They had the running game going a little bit. Did they not? C.J. Anderson?
Yeah.
250-pound C.J. Anderson.
I'm not going to lie. I stuck with the Rams as my pick just because it was my preseason pick. I didn't feel good about it knowing that Gurley was not going to be 100%. Anybody who thought Gurley was going to be 100% going to that game is an idiot. Sorry. Yeah,
what is up with that, by the way? Has any reports come out since then?
No, but I'm sure it will. I'm sure he's like... I honestly couldn't remember. One of the many guests I talked to last week basically said on the interview that he thinks he has a torn something in his knee. And I think we'll find that he probably has something in his knee. And here's the thing about the injury report. So a lot of people are like, well, why didn't they report it? Why was he on the injury report? Why was he a full participant? Well, they're not really practicing this time of year.
No.
And it's a very vague description. You have to practice the normal amount of reps to be designated as a full participant in practice. Well, if he's hurt and they dial back the playbook for him, and he's only supposed to be out there for 20 reps because that's the game plan, they can finagle the rules to where, well, Todd Gurley practiced every single rep that we had slotted for him.
I feel like the Patriots have done this in the past.
Exactly.
With some of their players.
I'm sure
they're all glorified walkthroughs at this point anyway.
Look, there were pool reporters in the Super Bowl practices. There's video that they can go back and look at if there's really going to be some kind of investigation into the injury report. But my guess is Todd Gurley's been hurt. They've dialed back.
Has been hurt for a while.
Since at least the Eagles game. Since at least the Eagles game, which was the week after the Bears game. And maybe it happened against the Bears and we just didn't know it. But in the middle of that Eagles game, he was all of a sudden on the sideline third quarter. And I remember this vividly because I needed like another 10 fantasy points out of him to advance in the playoffs. And I'm like, you better get your butt back on the field. And he did, and he ended up scoring a touchdown. But then people forget he sat out the next two games, and then they had a bye. So he had like a month off. Because some people on Twitter were like, well, why was he so good against the Cowboys then? Well, he had a month off before that game. And then a week later against the Saints, he wasn't the same guy again. Obviously, he's dealing with soreness in that knee. So 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, probably still not enough time to feel great. I think it's pretty obvious what's going on with Todd Gurley. And I think we're going to find out more, you know, in terms of what kind of injury he had. And maybe the Rams get in trouble with the rules, but I don't think they will.
They lost.
And they lost anyway. So I don't think Bill Belichick really cares.
The NFL, by all accounts and purposes, already gave them their call anyway.
What do you mean?
Saints.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They already gave them their freebie anyway.
Oh, the Patriots.
Did you see our Kevin Fishbane got in Twitter trouble? Can we call it Twitter trouble? Or in
Twitter? I did not see this.
I don't want to say Twitter trouble, but he started a conversation on Twitter by comparing what Trubisky did in week, what was that, 7?
Against the Patriots?
To what Jared Goff did.
Okay.
Yes. Even Mark Potash had to get in there, throw a little shade, of course. Oh.
Well, an argument with Potsy, that's not Twitter trouble.
No.
That's just like a Wednesday.
Yes. It's every day. What do you think
about...
What was
the problem?
Kevin just threw out his stats. Just pure statistical...
Was Mitch better? I feel like he was better.
Oh, he scored 3 times.
Yeah, he was pretty good that game.
Threw touchdown passes and ran for one.
Okay.
Remember, that was the wild one in the red zone where he ran right.
Oh, yeah. They couldn't stop him on the ground that game.
Yes, yes.
That's right.
I think he had 81 or 82 yards rushing that game. Look... The context of it is different, but I will say this. I don't know if Trubisky would have been better overall, but I think he would have been more of a threat because he's more mobile.
That is one advantage he has on Goff.
Yes, yes. And I think it's a considerable advantage for a lot of quarterbacks, especially with how fast some of these defenses are.
Based on what I saw from Goff down the stretch... If the Bears are in this serious position next year to make a run, and they were this year, Trubisky needs to be better than that for sure. And I'm not just talking about Super Bowl. I'm talking about the whole playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm talking more about, like, the ascension of his career. He needs to be at a higher point. So this was Goff's third year. So next year playoffs would be the same spot Goff was in this year.
Yes.
For Trubisky.
He needs to be a better player.
He needs to be... higher on that scale.
Yes.
And honestly, I think there's a good chance he will. I mean, just look at what he did against the Eagles.
I'll say this. As much as the Bears and Rams are compared and contrasted, all that, their offenses are considerably different. Just in terms of the amount of play action the Rams run and how...
The Rams are a heavier run team.
Yes, and how married their pass game is to their run game. Their pass game does not work well at all. If that run game is stopped. The Bears did not have a run game, and they still passed the ball. Great? No. But effective enough. Outstanding in some games, but overall efficient. Effective, I should say, overall, without having a consistent run game this year. Different offenses.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams not having Gurley, I honestly think they win the game if Gurley's 100%. He's such a difference maker.
Yeah.
He is such a difference maker. He's so important in that offense. And this,
you don't think the Patriots could have stopped him?
I don't think so. Actually, if you watch the Patriots this year, they struggled a lot of times with running backs coming out of the backfield. Wheel routes, things like that, catching the football, stopping them. And I think the issue with Gurley, if he could get a handoff and there's a hole right in front of him and he could run straight, he still had enough speed. I'm guessing whatever issues in his knee is affecting his lateral movement.
His change of direction.
And being able to cut and things like that, which when you're running routes, you need to be able to do. Because that seemed to be, if you go back and watch the run plays when they actually had Gurley in the game, it wasn't a whole lot of that. It was run between the tackles and go. So, yeah, I think he would have completely stressed the defense different. And just being on the field makes such a big difference. But I think the Patriots knew going into that game they didn't really have to worry about him. That is an unbelievable – it's like when we talk about Trey Burton's absence against the Eagles and how much that changed things. That's Trey Burton. No offense to him. We're talking about Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
And Trey Burton was one of the interviews we had last week on Radio Row, and he kind of, for the first time, went into a little bit about how, yeah, not being on the field, Malcolm Jenkins was supposed to be covering him, and
you know, now he was doubling Tariq Cohen.
Yeah, it made a big difference.
Yes, yes. A couple criticisms of the Rams then. You had 2 weeks to figure out what to do with your offense if Todd Gurley wasn't healthy. You had even longer to try to find a better option than C.J. Bubble Butt Anderson. With all due respect, he actually played quite well in some games. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. But it's not the same.
I know. I know replacing a Todd Gurley is impossible. But you could try to do something better, can you not? Change. Survive.
Adapt.
Yes.
All right. Matt Nagy, Coach of the Year. Turned out he ran away with the award.
Should have.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. But I did find it interesting that Frank Reich was actually third and not first. So, but good for him. One thing I wanted to bring up from last week's interviews, something that I hadn't really thought about this way, but I had a chance to talk to John Clayton, who, you know, the professor from ESPN all those years. Now he's hosting a daily radio show in Seattle and writing a column for the Washington Post. Still very, very involved in the league and has a vote for Coach of the Year and told me that he voted for Matt Nagy. And I hadn't really thought about it this way, but here's part of his reasoning for why he certainly thought that Matt Nagy was Coach of the Year. Here's John Clayton.
This is really obscure, which, of course, I'm the king of obscure. But it's like, you can actually say that he may have changed the league as much as any coach in the last year as anybody. And the reason I say that is that he has two products that he's been able to turn. One was Patrick Mahomes, and two was Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a story on, because again, I know this story. I heard it from their coaches. And what happened was Matt Nagy had a man crush in his last year at Kansas City on Patrick Mahomes. And so what he would do is that he would make every coach watch every Texas Tech game they could. You know, they'd be in meetings on Saturday, and Texas Tech games were going to be out there, and he was watching Mahomes. And then all of a sudden, the assistant general manager became a big fan. The assistant coaches became a big fan. They talked Andy Reid into becoming a big fan, and they stunned everybody by trading up with Buffalo to the 10th pick and getting Patrick Mahomes and changing the world, because now you can see Patrick Mahomes is the best young quarterback in the game. He's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got multiple Super Bowls. So credit that in part to Matt Nagy.
Did I hear multiple Super Bowls?
Yeah. I think he's predicting multiple
Super Bowls. Okay.
Yeah.
I got him.
I think he misspoke a little bit. But the story in there that I had not heard.
Yes, that's a new one.
Is Matt Nagy, this is going back a couple years when Mahomes was still at Texas Tech, would watch every Texas Tech game on Saturday and make these other assistants watch Texas Tech games. That's how much he loved Patrick Mahomes. And he, based on that story from John Clayton, played a major role in convincing everyone within the Chiefs organization to trade up a considerable jump to number 10 from where they were.
Weren't they like 24 or something?
Yeah, mid to late 20s to go up and get him. Now, this is always interesting when I hear stuff about the Chiefs and Mahomes and Trubisky, because I had heard immediately following that draft, and I think I've talked about this before and written about it, and later it's been confirmed that Trubisky was actually the top quarterback they had on their board. But that doesn't really jive with that story about Matt Nagy's love for Mahomes, except for the fact that Nagy's still the offensive coordinator. He's not the general manager. So obviously, I think there was some differing opinions. And notice that Clayton mentioned the assistant general manager, not the GM, which at the time was John Dorsey. Brett Veach was, I believe,
the assistant. Rumor has it John Dorsey had an infatuation, a man crush, we should use John Clayton's words, on Trubisky.
On Trubisky. So that may be the difference of opinion.
Yes.
So maybe Trubisky was the top guy on their board.
Yes.
Because the general manager ultimately makes the decision. But there was also, obviously, love for Mahomes since they went up and got him after Trubisky was off the board. So
a couple thoughts on this. Coaches and scouts scout players differently. Yes, there's some similarities in what they look for. The scouts are supposed to identify characteristics and players that the coaches want, right? Especially if an organization is working well. But coaches, other than maybe combine interviews or visits, they don't go into the school and spend time talking to everybody and anybody they can to get any information they can. They don't go digging up the dirt on campus. They don't do that. A lot of it is film work. A lot of it is maybe that 15-minute interview that they have. You know, maybe it's that private workout flying out to North Carolina. But the scout research is always a little bit more substantial than the coach research, you know, especially usually the GM and the scouts will bring in the coach, you know, to gain more information and gain more insight. I don't think this should be viewed as any type of criticism of Trubisky.
Not at all.
No. Okay. Just so we're clear.
I wrote about this in my 10 Bears Things column, which is up basically everything I learned at the Super Bowl last week. And the way I presented it was more so just like, Clayton brought it up because he's giving Nagy credit for having such a big impact on two of these young quarterbacks at the same time. We were both in the Pro Bowl where you were last week in Orlando. So I just think it gives him credibility for what he's doing with Trubisky. And I believe he also liked Trubisky a lot.
Yeah,
I just think he liked Mahomes a little bit more based on what we've learned, which is fine. But there's no questioning like Trubisky, otherwise he wouldn't have taken the Bears job. He could have gone to Indianapolis and been with Andrew Luck.
Yeah. Here's the thing about, here's my third and final thought about this. People around the league were concerned about Patrick Mahomes and what he would be at this level.
I was concerned.
Yeah, you mentioned Andrew Luck. Like, Andrew Luck was Peyton Manning, the second coming of Peyton Manning, the legitimate, unquestioned number one overall pick as a quarterback. The best player on everybody's boards. That was not the case for Patrick Mahomes. He was erratic at Texas Tech. Immense talent. Questions about whether he could put it all together. Questions about him being a leader and all that stuff. Immense questions about that. Immense talent, a lot of questions. So he wasn't the Andrew Luck-like draft pick, the no-brainer. People forget that. Yes, he looks amazing right now. Yes, he deserves to be the league MVP. But coming out a couple of years ago, there were a lot of questions about him,
Another one of the interviews, we're not going to play in this, but you can go back and find it, but Mahomes' agent, Lee Steinberg, you know, also went into some detail about, you know, Nagy's impact on Mahomes, and then also had some very nice things to say about Trubisky, too. So it's worth going back and listening to as well. The kicker thing's not going away anytime soon.
Can't kick it to the curb yet. I'm trying to find a better joke.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
No.
It wasn't great.
No.
But how great is it that they signed a kicker that has a double doink?
Yes. A little side note about this conversation about that. We could not remember the guy's name.
It's Redford Jones.
Yes, before the show started. What's his name?
Redford Jones.
He sounds like a cowboy.
From Tulsa.
Yeah. Oh, makes sense. There you go.
Yeah. I don't know where he's really from, but that's where he played college. But he makes his double doinks. They go in.
What are the odds?
You know, that's almost like, should we not sign this guy just because there's video of him double doinking?
Yeah, so Pat Finley wrote the quick Bears sign Redford Jones story. So many people read it. Cody Parkey's not going anywhere yet.
No,
he's still under contract. You know, this is just...
I had a station in Melbourne, Australia that walked up to me on Radio Row last week and said, are you from Chicago? Would you... And of course, I can't do an Australian accent.
But what are you doing, mate?
Would you like to come down under?
Whoa.
We want to talk... They want to talk...
Good day, mate.
They want to talk double doink. That's what they want to talk about.
Yeah.
And so it was the double doink heard around the world,
just
apparently.
Ask Parkey. Apparently he's available for interviews outside team sanctions.
Mixed opinions on that last week, for sure. But the whole Robbie Gould conversation. He's making it very clear that he wants to come back to Chicago.
Yes.
So he stopped by on Radio Row last week. I'm playing just a little bit of this interview. Because I find it interesting, and I find the circumstances interesting. One thing that is on the table, though, that people can't forget is technically the 49ers could franchise tag him, which makes all this a moot point. So I asked Robbie about that last week, if the 49ers could use the franchise tag.
They could. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? You know what I mean? Like I said, I have the ability to talk to the 49ers for... up until free agency, right? And if that doesn't work out, then they could use a tag if they want, right? Obviously, I'd like to be in the place that I'm going to play for longer than 1 year again, just if it works out that way. But if not, it's the business of football. And if that does happen for some reason, then the CBA does grant me opportunities that I can stay around my family for a long time. So, you know, those are things that I'll have to take into account. And we'll kind of taking it day by day and figure that out when that happens.
So regardless of if it's this spring or in the future, I mean, you've made it very clear, both sitting down here, and I know you talked to Dan Pompey, that you want to retire a Bear, you want to be, you know, back in the organization somehow. Are there any fences that need to be mended there?
Not really.
At all?
I mean, what fence? Hey, Urlacher, I love your hair. You're looking great. Who would have thought you would have more hair than me at this age? Who would have thought you would have more hair than me at this age? Retirement's been good to you. Gold jacket, hair. I mean, this guy's amazing.
Brian Urlacher walking by us here. We're going to hear from Brian Urlacher soon, by the way, guys, here right here on the show.
Yeah, so, you know, I think, I don't think there's any fences that need mended. I mean, it's a business, right? And that's the hardest part for, I think, fans and players to understand is that's what it is, right? At the end of the day, and, you know, some things you can control, some things you can't, but... I'm grateful for my time in Chicago. My heart still lives in Chicago. I still have a lot of affinities to the family and want Mrs. McCaskey and her family to hold up a Super Bowl trophy one day. And I think, you know, whatever happens down the road with whether it's free agency or coming back in some other capacity to be around the organization, you know, I'd always be open to it.
So there's a little... inside of the craziness on Radio Row, because Urlacher walked by right in the middle of the interview.
Bold prediction.
Yes.
2 years from now, maybe a year from now, maybe in a few months from now, 294. It's going to be filled with Restore advertisements. But Urlacher's gone. Ryan Sandberg is gone.
And it's Robbie Gould. That's a good prediction.
And there could be so many... slogans or whatever advertisers use. Double doinking his way back, or, you know, hair is better than his. You know what I mean?
The Golden Dome.
Yeah, something like that.
That's a good bold prediction.
Bold predictions.
Mark it down.
I like it. Of course, there's no fences to be mended here, because the guys that ruined Robbie Gould's fence are no longer here.
Yeah. But does that mean the Bears will sign him?
I don't know. You would think the 49ers would have, just reading or hearing what Robbie Gould has been saying, you would think they would have a good idea of how Robbie Gould feels about Chicago and how he wants to return. So maybe they will be wise and not use their franchise tag on him, and yeah, we'll see. A lot to play out still. It is February.
But, and I'm not going to pretend to know every single detail about what's going on in San Francisco right now, but my understanding is they don't really have a whole lot of franchise tag candidates. You use the tag, you're overpaying for a kicker. But if you use the tag on anybody, you're overpaying at that position. And so it's still way cheaper to tag a kicker than obviously a quarterback or any other position.
So they're in, what, year three of the John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan era?
Correct.
Is this, they got a lot of cap room. I mean, kicker could be part of that for sure.
That's what I'm saying.
But would they be wise to spend it elsewhere? Like a considerable amount elsewhere.
But if you're not going to be up against the cap, you think you're going to be good. You don't have any other obvious tag candidates. And maybe they do, but I was kind of briefly told that it doesn't look that way. Then you can stomach tagging a kicker for a year. Why create another problem? That's how I looked at the Bears extending Bobby Massey, which we haven't gotten into really yet. But he's not an all-pro. But why create another problem? He's been pretty steady over there, right tackle. He can still play.
Some games he's better than steady.
Yeah. And so, because the problem is once you get good, now the hard part starts for the general manager. Because now you got to fit all these contracts within the cap. You're going to have to pay Trubisky. You're going to have to pay Eddie Jackson. You're going to have to pay Tariq Cohen. You know, all these contracts are going to be up. And so don't create extra problems. You can't have all pros at every single position. You can re-sign a guy like Bobby Massey. And remember, they don't have draft picks either. I started doing Bears Mock Draft 1.0. There's four picks. Maybe a fifth. The conditional on DeAndre Hall trade. Remember that one?
Oh, I think they got it. Yeah.
Is that confirmed?
Yeah, I saw a report out of Philly that they got it.
Okay.
Should be confirmed soon by the league, right?
I was waiting on that because I'm like, honestly, I was doing Bears Mock Draft 1.0 and I'm like, am I doing four or five picks?
DeAndre Hall. Wow.
Right?
Where is he still in Philly? Yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
I think he is.
Okay.
I think he is.
But yes, why create another issue for yourself? Reliable player?
That's how the 49ers could look at their kicker position right now.
I think he's coming back.
You do?
Yes.
Okay.
You don't?
I'm like 50-50. I just... It seems... Seems like the obvious move. I think I've called it the easiest no-brainer decision in the history of the Bears.
It makes too much sense not to. Even if you're looking at it selfishly, if you're the Bears. Like, you make this move, you can't... Look, it made sense to everybody. You brought back the best kicker in franchise history, who has been excellent since you cut him last time, wants to come back. If he stinks, I don't think he would stink if he returns. Then you know what? Hey, you gave it almost your best shot here. That would be your best shot.
Yeah, well, that's the other. And then the other side of it is if you don't bring him back and you...
You go through your Connor Barthes, you go through your Carlos Santos.
And your Redford Jones, right?
Come on, that guy's not making the team.
And Carlos Santos.
I'm just saying, like, whatever it ends up with, if your kicker next year is bad and it's not Robbie Gould...
Yes.
You are going to get... It's like the whole thing over.
Yes,
like
yes.
Right now, Ryan Pace's biggest blunder is the kicker.
Yes.
So if you have a chance to re-sign the guy you screwed up by cutting, and you don't do it, and then you still have the problem. I mean, it's like it all happened again.
Yes. The only thing I'm sure that is holding them back right now is the finances of this. You don't have a lot of salary cap room, but as you saw in the structure of the Bobby Massey contract. In all contracts, really, that the Bears have done with Joey Lane, you can structure this to give yourselves outs, to make it affordable for 2019, to give yourself more money in the books in 2020 when you have more salary cap flexibility. You can make this work. You definitely can make this work. Don't forget Roberto Aguayo was here.
Mike Nugent
was here. Am I missing anybody?
Probably, but I can't remember. Roberto Aguayo. Now that is a bust.
Yes. Second round pick, was it not?
Holy, yeah, that is. A lot of teams learned a lesson there, I think. Wow. Anything else we should get to?
No.
No? There's been a lot of stuff.
It's good to see you, my friend.
I know. I got to get back to like life at some point.
Life on Radio Row is
bills. I got a dentist appointment. You know, there's like general life things happening.
Yes, yes.
That at some point,
you just
can't
be living on the company dime in Atlanta.
I did curl last night.
Like curls or like curling?
Curling. Yeah.
Oh.
Monday Night League.
That's what you call it.
That's where it's at.
I'm going to go curl.
Yeah. My arms are sore. All that sweeping.
Oh, so you are technically still curling.
Yeah, no. It's real curling.
Does the saying curls for the girls still apply to curling?
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Okay.
It's curling season. Football's over. Get with it.
Okay.
Get with it.
I'll come out there one day.
You should.
You in the league? I'll try.
You can stop by.
Okay. It'll be fun. Yeah.
Seriously, they have family and friends events and learn the curls.
No, I would want instruction from you.
Okay.
Okay.
I can do that.
Okay.
I'll say this. It's not a hard sport to get going. Like, to be able to just do it and participate, it's incredibly hard to be good at it.
Yes.
Kind of like golf.
Yeah.
You can get on a golf course.
Have a couple good
holes.
And
have fun for 18 holes. It's incredibly hard to be good at, though.
Yes.
Right? So that's kind of the equivalent.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
And then there's some people who just can't swing a golf club, and they'll never will. And there's some people that can't figure out how to stand on ice without falling down. So there's a rare, there's like 5% of the population that probably can't do it. Maybe a little bit more. But you could easily get out there and within 20 minutes be able to throw a rock into the house. I have confidence.
Are you throw a rock into the house?
Yes.
This is curling verbiage.
Yes. Have you never watched the Olympics?
Look, I know you have some type of curling fetish.
Fetish? It's a sport.
It's a fetish.
All right. I'm sorry I went down this road.
Yes, yes, yes.
We got to get you out to the curling club now.
Yes, yes. If your arms are sore, I must
partake. You laugh now. Do it one time. Have you seen
some of these guys that partake in
you
curling?
You will have sore muscles that you didn't even know existed in your body. I promise you.
Curling muscles.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. You got a very serious look on your face.
I have very serious pain in my shoulder right now.
And this is how podcast 216 will end.
Something like that, yeah. It was a good episode. It was fun.
Yes.
It was a fun week. If I can find our clothes. There it is. All right. We're only a few weeks from the combine.
How about that?
Ooh.
Is that our next show? We'll do one before this.
I think we'll probably do one before that.
It's draft season.
Yeah. Draft season.
The team we cover doesn't have a first round pick or a second round pick, but
I know. Bears mock draft 1.0. It's a Tuesday after the Super Bowl. It'll be out at some point today. But it's really weird. No first round pick, no second round pick. I seriously got to figure out if I'm doing four or five picks. It's the seventh round. Who cares?
Yes.
It's the seventh round.
Hey, Julian Edelman was a seventh round pick.
Tom Brady was
a Super Bowl MVP.
Pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does matter, I guess. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoke, at Adam Johns. Read us at WGNradio.com/Bears, my 10 Bears things. Everything from the Super Bowl is up there. You can find the interviews, Sports Central, WGN Sports Central, same way you find Hogan Johns. Search WGN Sports Central, search Hogan Johns, subscribe, rate, and review. We appreciate you doing that. Appreciate all our listeners. Thanks for staying with us last week as we sort of skipped Super Bowl week, but we're back with you now. We'll be back in a week or two as well. Talk to you soon.
Hello, everyone. This is Al Riveron.
No.